Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our radio ministry. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Does giving away some of our possessions ever become fun? Or is it always an obligation I must accept? That's what I'm going to talk about in my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Please, O God, help us to understand this, not just to verbalize it, but to be so convicted of it that we are anxious to give back something to you. In this time of the year, O God, when in many churches we center our thoughts on stewardship and the giving of our time, talent, and money, speak to us through your holy word. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. Come,
friends in Christ. It matters not what age it is. The Church of Jesus Christ depends upon believers who love the Lord so much that they are willing to give in His kingdom. That's why the Bible teaches us that sharing our time, talent, and money is not just an obligation that you and I must bear if we're going to be members of the church, but it is a real opportunity to express our love in a tangible way to the Lord of the church. So today, let's go back and take a look at what the Bible has to say about giving. We turn to a passage like Matthew 23:23. Our Lord is talking to the Pharisees, and that's where He gives out all of the woes, woe to you, and for doing this and for doing that. And He comes to verse 23 when He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Here Jesus is talking about the tithe, where there is great instruction on that particular way of giving in the Old Testament. Now, the tithe has been a blessing for many Christians and certainly has been for the institutional church. I know that there have been many people who have really felt God's blessings and have experienced that He has given back, as the prophet promises, to those who will not rob the Lord of the tithe. So certainly do not take this as a statement against the tithe. However, there is an opportunity for us to see that there can be other forms of giving that might be even greater than the tithe. For example, the tithe can be, if it is not done out of love, something that we just do not like to do. It is not something that brings a lot of joy to us in giving. As a result of that, it isn't fun. In fact, sometimes we even resent giving when we think, "I must give because it is the tithe. And if I'm going to be a good Christian, then I've got to give the tithe." Now again, I'm not speaking against the tithe. I'm simply saying that these can be some of the feelings that are found among those who do use that method of determining how much they should give to the Lord Jesus. In the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, and that's the portion of Scripture that I read for you before the sermon started, we have the widow's gift. And our Lord was with His disciples and was outside of the temple and watching the people as they came in and put in their contributions to the treasury. I imagine that some of these people were quite wealthy and maybe gave a lot of money. But then there was a widow who came along, and she really got the attention of Jesus. The Lord turned to His disciples and said, "Look, this woman is the greatest giver. For she has given everything that she has. She gave out of her poverty." Now, I'm sure that our Lord was not recommending that we all give away everything that we have. Of course not. We have responsibilities, and we need money and time and talent to do these things too. But what He was trying to point out was that giving is more than just fulfilling an obligation. That giving, when it really is giving, has been motivated by love. In other words, we have experienced the love of God, and therefore we want to put that in some tangible way, and so we turn around and give back to Him. That is called stewardship. And that is what is needed in a church if it is going to be healthy and progressive with the gospel of Christ. Now, if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we have some powerful words. In the first 5 verses, we read like this: "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. I believe that within these five verses, we have God's plan as to how a person becomes a steward and how giving all of a sudden becomes fun. Now notice here, he's talking about the Macedonian congregation. Those people themselves had a lot of trials. They lived in poverty. But when they learned that there was a real need for some of the Christian brethren down around Jerusalem, they decided that they wanted to give an offering. And Paul says that they gave as much as they could, and when they got done giving that, they even gave some more. You see, there's a motivating factor, their love for the Lord, which says that they are to love their fellow men, and God had given them so much when he gave them his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they wanted other people to hear that message too. And they wanted their Christian brethren and sisters and brothers down there in that Jerusalem area who were living in the worst famine to have at least the necessities of life. Paul in this passage of scripture goes on to say that first they gave themselves to the Lord. Here I think, friend, is a very, very key of stewardship, and something we either have not wanted to take a look at in the established congregation, or really it has never come to our attention. I remember 40-some years ago when it was brought to my attention and the stir that it caused when we began to talk about it at first in the congregation that I served. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. To become a steward of the good things that God has given to us, all of our time, our talent, and our money, we first must be in a living relationship with God. In other words, giving is a part of the Christian's life. When giving irritates us, then I think we have to take a look and ask a deeper question. Why am I irritated? Why is it not fun to give to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, maybe you may feel that the gift to the Lord Jesus is being used in a reckless way by certain ones to whom you give it. Then, of course, you perhaps have to ask, well, do I want to keep on giving the Lord's money to this group? But if it is not that, and it's just the plain giving, why is it that you don't like to give? And why isn't it fun? And the answer to that, my beloved friend, is that perhaps the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not what it should be. From my experience of many years in the ministry, I have become thoroughly convinced that the church must make clear to the person who sits in the pew and stands in the pulpit that first you must receive Christ, and then you begin to give as a part of the Christian life. But if you have not received Christ, if Jesus Christ has not done anything for you, then God does not expect you to give anything, at least according to this portion of God's holy word. Our first concern is to consider our relationship to God. How can we ever ask people who have never tasted of the grace of God, even though they might belong to a congregation, how can we ask them to give? It just does not make sense. And so sometimes I used to say, and it caused a tremendous reaction the first time I said it in our congregation, if you're not in a living relationship with God, you don't have to give anything. For God does not need to finance his kingdom by asking unbelievers to contribute of their time and their talent and their money. And then there was that statement that many never forgot. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not a part of the missionary force of the church. Rather, you are the mission of the church. Call and tell us, I used to say to them. Call and tell us that you can't give now because you don't see the real importance of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. You're not even sure that you're a Christian yourself. Call the pastor. Call some faithful member of the congregation and ask them to come. And we will do all that we can, I used to say, to help you in that living relationship with God. Now, if you turn to the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we have other very, very pointed words on this matter. I refer to verses 7 and 8. Here the Apostle Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under any compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I love this, don't you? In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying here, and this is God's way of teaching stewardship, every person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, nor under any compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Nobody is to put any pressure on me and to tell me how much I ought to give. I do not believe that it is biblical when we go on some of these drives that sometimes we even go so far as to say, well, we believe that you have the ability to give X number of dollars. Who are we to tell anybody that? The one who tells us what we ought to give is none other than God the Holy Spirit. What you give to the cause of Jesus Christ is between you and God. Somebody may say, well, boy, you're really letting them off the hook when you say something like this. If they're in a living relationship with God, they're in communication with God about this whole matter of stewardship, and they don't need pressure from us. Let the believer give as the Lord leads him. When we began to understand this, then stewardship for us in our congregation became a lot of fun. And as far as I was concerned, as a pastor standing there on Stewardship Sunday, one year after another, that Sunday became an exciting experience, whereas once it was a hideous experience. Some of you perhaps have heard me say this often, and I think that it bears repeating, and if God is willing and let me live another year, and you happen to listen once more, I might say it again. You know, I entered the ministry, and I didn't know anything about stewardship. I'd been raised in a home where the tithe was the right thing to give, even in the midst of the Depression. And that's about as far as it went. And that was fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But then our church at large had to raise a lot of money for a particular cause. We hired a person to be our consultant, and I imagined that we would have had a first-class businessman with a great deal of knowledge about the psychology of stewardship, and I was appointed to that committee, and I listened to him very carefully, but I was surprised. This man, when he stood before us, said, "Gentlemen," and it was all men in those days, "stewardship can be divided, can be expressed in this way. The Christian gives out of love to Christ in relationship to his faith. There are three parts. Our giving is to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not to a particular fund. It is to the Lord Jesus." Now, how the church uses that, you may want to have a part in to determine whether you think or do not think that it is a way that it can best be used for the bringing of the gospel of Christ to the world. But our giving is to the Lord Jesus. Secondly, it is a love gift. And that pretty well helps to determine what I ought to give. My time, my talent. You're a busy person, you say. I don't have much time. There you have to wrestle with God. and he'll determine with you what it should be. And then, in the area of our faith, what does that mean? As we grow in our relationship with God, our stewardship grows. For then I want to give him more and more and more. Isn't that true in our marriages? The longer that I live with my wife, the more that I want to give her. That's because the love continues to increase. We begin to understand then that stewardship is not an obligation, but stewardship is rather a great, exciting experience of showing the Lord what you want to really do for him. From that day on, when that gentleman opened my eyes to what the Word of God had to say, stewardship grew in our church. But more than that, the people considered giving of their time, talent, and money a big part of their Christian life. I have to do this, for it is the Lord Jesus who is my Savior, and he is the one who guides my life. And a part of that Christian life is simply the giving of my money. It is not an obligation, but rather it is an opportunity and a privilege to glorify his holy name. In some of our churches, we celebrate three great festivals of the church year. The one is Christmas, and that is followed by Easter. Most of us are well aware of those festivals. Then 50 days after Easter, there is Pentecost. Not as many seem to celebrate that, though it is equally as important. I would like to suggest, not in the same sense of the word of course, but I would like to suggest that there be a fourth great festival of the church year. And that be what is called in many churches Stewardship Sunday. Every Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. Every day is Stewardship Day. But Stewardship Sunday, as I understand it, is that time when people in a given congregation decides on what they want to give to the cause of Christ through that church. This is a time where we come as uplifted as on Easter, where in all of these other festivals, it is what God has given to us in Christ. Now on Stewardship Sunday, we can come and say, this is our day, Lord, to respond to you and to give back out of love for you all that you have given to us. Yes, sir, stewardship was fun in parts of the early church, and I pray to God it is fun for you and the congregation where you worship. Amen.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times thou bought a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity. Thanks for all eternity.
Father, we pray that in churches around the world, believers in you will understand the true way to give, out of love, in the area of our faith. And then, Lord Jesus, when your people have responded, grant that the church may understand how that were that money, how that time, and how that talent is to be used, only to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Grant, O God, that we may understand that stewardship is not only giving of our money, but the right way of using it. So, Lord, come and bless your church on this earth. Grant that there may be plenty, so that no one will go in want, because Christians have said, I don't have time or I don't have money to help my brothers in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that each of you will find in your life much to be grateful for during this Thanksgiving week. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Some of you are members of our GEM Club. GEM stands for Gift Every Month, and members send a gift each month. No matter the size of the gift, this faithful, regular giving provides Christian Crusaders with a steady income to pay monthly radio bills. We warmly thank each of our GEM donors. You are truly jewels in this important ministry. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.